Hey, yo, this is Fonz.
Quan.
And welcome to another show. We're glad that you decided to tune in with us. Do us a favor. First, like, share, and subscribe, because that's going to help us out, for real. That's really going to help us out. Also, if you're on Facebook or whatever, go to the Bat Boy Sports Podcast War Room. We got all types of updates. I mean, even because football season is basically officially on us, it's going to be a lot of trash talk.
It's going to be a lot of trash talk. Make sure y'all follow.
All right, guys, welcome back, man. Welcome back to the show. How you feeling, man?
Feeling all right.
I bet you are. I really bet you are. But anyway.
Starting out won't be nothing.
apparently, y'all still. Anyway, let's go ahead and jump into the topic.
That boy sauce
is on me. Apparently, y'all still want a robbery. All right, so we gonna go ahead and jump it on to the topic. So, Sunday Night Football supposed to have been a heavyweight bout, but I seen people get knocked out in the first round. Shout out to Bernie Mac, man. Let's kind of dive a little bit into what is going on with the Dallas Cowboys. They lost big out there in Santa Clara by way of San Francisco. And what gives, man?
Just Dallas Cowboys versus a good defense. that team, 49ers, is a very scary team. I know there was a comparison saying that, you know, the Cowboys and the 49ers are weighed at almost the same. They feel like they, you know, are just as good as the 49ers. But I don't think so. I don't really think so. Number four is having some issues. Looking at their front office now and all their coordinators and stuff. And the 49ers is just coming out, hitting people right in the nose.
Yeah.
And, I mean, for the first quarter and a half, maybe, I felt like it did show a glimpse of, okay, this possibly could be a pretty good game. Because, you know, this 49ers kind of started a little slow on offense.
Right.
But then, after a while, it went on downhill. So,
yeah.
They put up 42 points on the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, just, I don't know, man.
I think the New York Giants owe the 49ers a debt of gratitude in this moment. But so let me give a couple of quotes. This was Mike McCarthy, the head coach of the Cowboys, said. He said, "It's a punch in the gut. It's a kick in the arse." Whatever phrase you want to put it. He also said they beat us in all three phases. They played extremely well. And we did not. And it was one of those under years where I thought we have taken a step as a team. I did not see this coming. Sure. We did not hit the mark at all. My theory for the Cowboys, I have two. The first one is injuries. They got Leighton Vander Esch. He's expected to go on IR. His neck won. CJ Goodwin, he has a torn pec. That is season ending. Kevontae Turpin, I think he's their number two wide receiver, if I'm not mistaken. He has an ankle injury. And of course, you had Trayvon Diggs going down. And then their tight end, Peyton Hendershot, went down. That's one thing. The second thing is offensive line depth. That offensive line, the Great Wall of Dallas, is no more. Enough said. Linebacker depth. They don't have a lot of depth at linebacker. And my last and final point is one number four, and that is Dakota Rain Prescott. I had to research his name because I didn't think his mama named him Dak. But five games this season, he had a passer rate of 87.5 with just a hair over 1,000 yards passing, five touchdowns to four interceptions. He threw three of them Sunday night. So he went into that game with one pick and left with four. The math ain't mathing up. His completion percentage is currently 69.4. So he's a sneeze under 70. And his current QBR, which is a stat from ESPN, is 65.1. He threw three picks on three consecutive drives. Now, let's talk about the 49er defense. That defense is nothing to sneeze at. That defense is bound to be historically good.
Yeah. Everybody stay healthy.
Yeah.
Not going to lie, Fred Warner is a beast. And then his sidekick in Greenlaw is playing good. Right. I mean, their entire defense is just quick to get to the ball, wherever the ball is.
Right.
Like, they're really good team tacklers.
Of course.
And they're aggressive.
Sore tacklers, too.
They're really aggressive.
Now, I'm not going to dig. I could dig more in the Cowboys, but honestly, they flat out lost that game because, honestly, he has struggled against San Francisco.
Yep.
San Francisco has defeated the Cowboys three consecutive times, and Sunday's 32-point loss was the most in the series, so that's the biggest in history. Now, let's talk about
Last time it was 23-17, so yeah.
So let's talk about Brock Purdy. No, we did not see him coming. Let's just be real. I mean, but honestly, though, he had four passing touchdowns, 252 yards, 17 of 24 passing. And the Cowboys' vaunted pass rush, Michael Parsons and them guys, they couldn't do much of anything. Point blank, period. Now, getting back to the Cowboys, think about it. They played lesser opponents. Up until this game, they played the Giants, the Jets, the Cardinals, and the Patriots. Their first loss coming against the Cardinals. Now, I wanted to say that was an anomaly, but then they got manhandled by the 49ers. Their offense, let's talk about their offense just for a tad. Last two seasons, 2022, their offense in points per game was 26.4. Now, today, 21.2. So we see a significant, it's not significant, but it's significant nonetheless. Significant drop. Yards per game, it was 354.9. Now it's 327.4. Yards per play, 5.4 yards to now is 4.9 this year. And of course, the run percentage is 37.1%. Now it's 36.9%. So they're running less because they don't have Zeke anymore. Are the Cowboys contenders or are they pretenders?
I believe they're pretenders. I mean, we've never seen the Cowboys in a while have a good season and continue to have a good season when it comes to playoff time. Mm-hmm. Now, if they would have won this game, it was probably going to be very... Maybe
slim to
a better chance for them to beat them back at San Fran. But now that they lost, it's even higher of a chance for them to unlikely win that game when they got to go to San Fran.
Because they're going to have to go back. They're going to have to go back at some point.
They got to go back to San Fran. They're going to have to beat them. And I don't see them being that. Yeah, they are definitely pretenders.
And I concur. Until they prove me otherwise, they are, without a shadow of a doubt, a pretender. They, to me, if I was to make a tier, make a tier of each team where they're standing right now, I would put the Cowboys on the outside looking in, and that's just being honest. And I'm not hating, nor am I. I'm just going by how I see, because you look dominant against lesser opponents. The Jets, I'm going to give them a slide because they lost the starting quarterback, but they did look good against that defense. However, you got a real litmus test and you failed miserably. Speaking of the Jets, let's talk about them for a second. Let me see. I kind of think the Jets could be an AFC dark horse, to be real. And it's solely on their defense at this point. Like, their defense is ridiculous. That defense is crazy. Now, they lost three. They're 2-3 right now. But they lost by a combined 68 points in five games. But they lost to the New England Patriots. That's a divisional rival. They lost to the Kansas City Chiefs. They barely lost to the Chiefs. It was a three-point game. They barely lost to the Patriots. It was a five-point game. The only blowout that was 20 points or better was against those Cowboys. So what do you think about the New York Jets?
As far as...
can they ruin somebody's Christmas?
I mean, for sure. Them and a few other teams can be play upset to a few people's Christmas. Their schedule is not really, I feel like it's tough for them because they don't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
And like you said before, that was a real major that was a major loss for them.
Right.
I will say this, what I'm intrigued to see, I do think they're going to pull a lot of upsets.
Of course.
And I do think if they get in the playoffs somehow, maybe a wild card, it's going to be an issue. I want them, I kind of want them to make the playoffs.
I do too.
Just so I can see Aaron Rodgers can come back and have a chance to play with that being at stakes. You know, it's going to be a little different. Normally, Aaron Rodgers would kind of carry away a little bit. But he's not in the same conference anymore.
Right.
And this is it's a scoring conference. I call AFC the scoring conference.
Right.
You can get NFC, NFC, you kind of see more of a collective of defense and offense. Like AFC has always been offense. Anyways, I would love to see them make the playoffs. And I feel like the deeper we get into the season, I feel like they'll play with more of a grit. Because I know they want Aaron Rodgers to have a chance to be back on that field with them. And if they do that, it's going to be something to pay for, I think.
In a perfect world, it would be crazy to see the Jets make the playoffs. Not necessarily for Aaron Rodgers coming back, but more for how that defense stepped up. I mean, like, I kind of peeped the Denver game Sunday, and they was out there with their hair on fire, out there in the Mile High. You know, it's hard to play out there in the Mile High. But they beat the Broncos by 10. Now, everybody's going to say, well, the Broncos this, Broncos that. I get that. But at the end of the day, you beat who's in front of you. That's just me.
In all honesty, it was a close game throughout.
Until the fourth quarter.
They held Denver out to no points in the third quarter, but, marginally beat the Denver Broncos. And statistically speaking, as far as, like, first downs and total plays of that nature, it was neck and neck. I think it was an even matchup there.
Yeah, it pretty was.
They pulled it out.
Yeah. Speaking of pulled it out, let's talk about your Steelers. Are your boys back?
No.
I respect you. I respect you. I'm going to tell you why. Because there's a lot of AFC North groups on Facebook, and I'm in one in particular. And from the ending whistle to this very moment, Steelers fans have been just yap. Don't forget, I ain't talking to you because me and you close. I'm talking to the ones that's unrealistic. Don't forget y'all lost to the Texans. but let's take a dive. So the Steelers obviously won against my Baltimore Ravens this past Sunday. Now, way to take advantage. That's all. I mean, hey, way to take advantage.
That's all I think it was.
I mean, miscues galore. drop passes, boneheaded interceptions.
Was it like two? How many drop passes was it in end zone? Two.
It was two.
Two of them.
It was two guaranteed. It was one
to Mark Andrews.
One to Andrews and one to Bateman.
And they said the Andrew pass was too high. I think that's bull drive.
That's bull. I've seen.
He makes those catches.
Thank you.
I know he makes those catches.
Thank you.
The one with Bateman, that was just horrible. But it talks about y'all having rugby balls for the receivers.
I don't get it.
Like a rugby ball.
My thing is here, and this is going out to Jonathan Kwame Harbaugh. How are you going to introduce rugby balls to these receivers? They can't catch a football.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't want to catch nothing else but a football. I watched a little bit of First Take yesterday. That was hilarious. I encourage all of y'all, after you watch this show, to go watch First Take, because First Take was pretty funny. But they was talking about the reason why for the rugby ball, it teaches you to keep your hands somewhat like this. But the point of the matter is, the football, you got to keep your hands together. You don't need them spreaded out. So, and that was a prime example. You go back and look at the Bateman touchdown. I mean, he had his hands up, but he didn't look that ball in. And I feel like with those two touchdowns alone, we'd have lost that game.
There's one more. There was actually three. It was a 21-point swing. I wish I could have put the film up here. Nelson Aguilar. I forgot.
Oh, yeah.
He got the separation.
Yeah, I'm not there.
Lamar. Yeah. And another thing, not you, bro, but them ignorant fans, they need to get up off my quarterback. Lamar threw him a dime. That's all he had to do. The ball went in between his hands.
Mm-hmm.
So all the events that happened at the end of the game, the block punt, the fumble, the sack, the end of the game or whatever, none of that would have mattered. Baltimore Ravens receivers did not get off the bus, and I'm kind of dipping into my big dummy. Honestly, though, and this ain't to you, this is to them other ones, because I respect you because you're a reasonable Steelers fan and you real, right? But this is for the other ones. I really feel like beating the Ravens is the Steelers' playoffs.
I mean, in a sense, it kind of is. It's always close. It's always something for the last, especially for the last 3 years. We played y'all during COVID, and the whole team was bashed. That game was still close.
Yeah.
Y'all had, and now just looking at this game, y'all had what, 6-7 drops, and that game was close. So, in a sense, I concur to the Steelers and the Ravens being the Steelers playoffs because we just ain't it. I'm sorry, I'm not. I understand we number one in the AFC North. That's great. Maybe, I mean, we've been winning somehow. Ugly, not being able to put up points, but that defense that we have is amazing. They are the defense and the offense of the Pittsburgh Steelers. We need to give all the money that we have for the offensive linemen, quarterback, receivers, all that money. We need to go to TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith, Mika Fitzpatrick, and whoever else. Just need to give all their money away because the offense isn't doing absolutely nothing at all.
The offense did not move the ball in 58 minutes. It took y'all 58 minutes, almost to the second, to get the game winning touchdown. But I mean, hats off to you guys, man. Like it was good game. GGs. Like that's all I can say because y'all took the dub at that point.
I'll take the W, but I'm not.
You won the battle. I'm not.
That's pretty much what it was.
Y'all won the battle.
It's not enough for me to be excited. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we're number one. Now, if we could take this moment right here, because we got a bye week. So this is perfect. This is perfect. Because we've played the worst 5 weeks of football I ever seen.
Yeah.
And this is perfect.
Yeah.
You take this moment right here. We're number one in the division. Now, we played great. So for some reason, we playing great in the division.
It's interconference. That's the problem.
Yeah. But we take this moment right here and come out for the rest of the season and be able to put up points, then maybe you'll get a little spark out of me. But right now, it's just we barely won that game. And if it wasn't for those drops, not saying we couldn't have scored, not saying we wouldn't have still won the game, but when it's missing points on the game on the board,
when 21 points is fogged on the ground,
So
think about it. 21 points. We scored 10. That'd have been 31. That should have been more than enough to put the Steelers away. But it is what it is. You know, like I said, y'all got the battle. Y'all won the battle. I mean, because honestly, since 2018, the Steelers, honestly, they've been all right. You know, not that they want, it's like they're not good and they bad. And I feel like, I think it was the COVID year? Y'all had like an 11-0 daggone streak.
I think that
kind of inflated the numbers a little bit, if you don't mind me saying. It kind of inflated it a little bit. But honestly, though, in real talk, and I'm not hating, and you know what I'm saying, we took a punch in the face. I'm not going to hate, but honestly, the way Pittsburgh gets up in the morning to play Baltimore, I mean, it's like, if y'all don't win no other game this year, y'all will play Baltimore to the final whistle.
I don't understand it. I wish we played every single team like we played Baltimore. But you have to, like Mike T said, you have to be there in order to know what it is to be a part. It's always just, we play the Browns, it don't feel the same. We play Cincinnati, don't we? Play Baltimore, though, we like, yeah, we got to get there.
And it's like, and to me, though, honestly, and I'm saying it because this is how I feel. I feel like it's very one-sided. Because ever since 2012, we stopped looking at y'all like y'all the chief rival.
Yeah.
Because you got to think about it. We went through Manning and Brady and won. So we was like, y'all just division. And then Cincinnati came on the uprise. They became the one to go get. Because you know how Cincinnati is. They come on, you know how they did, man. They get a little bit of success, and then
I really thought this division was probably one of the best, toughest divisions, but Pittsburgh is number one. And that just says a lot about this division. I mean, Baltimore struggled on offense too, with the drops.
Yes.
And everything. So, but this, I as a Steeler, and I love my boys. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
They this year they really didn't got underneath my skin a lot this year. But I love my boys. But we should not be number one in the division. We should not, no way, nowhere near. Maybe third.
That's the swing game was the Browns. The Browns,
yeah, that game was crazy too.
That was a swing game. We both beat the Browns, so it's like we're tied for first.
We are. We're tied for first.
That's why I'm not stressing.
We're 2-0 in the division. And we're 3-1 in the conference. And you guys are 2-1 in the division and 3-2 in the conference. So
over 3-2 overall game. Because of this past loss, because we only wanted to play AFC. You know what? That makes sense because y'all had the 49ers week one. So that kind of boosted because we haven't played the NFC opponent yet. But hey, it's still plenty of season
left. Don't rush.
Yes, I don't. We got
y'all want to see them boys right
look,
now.
Look, one of the guys at church, he a hard 49er fan. He was like, yeah, y'all got to come see us. I told him, I don't want no smoke. just let us forfeit. I'd rather forfeit because I don't want no smoke. Because I'd rather go play Kansas City than play the 49ers right now.
Yeah. I ain't gonna lie now. Kansas, now,
they look vulnerable.
I don't know. I'm not even gonna speak on Kansas right now. I ain't gonna speak on Kansas.
And I ain't gonna talk about them because I don't want nobody here. Yeah. I mean, I'd be grateful if the city, Kansas City, was watching this show. It'll really boost the ratings, but I ain't got no beef with them, you know.
I got no beef with them.
That's my homie, you know, because his name is Holmes, you know, Home Slice. You know, I don't want to mess with him, you know. All right, so we didn't do it last week. I feel like we got to bring her up one more time. So here we go, dog. Going to Fred, where you at? I'm going to tell you, Fred, you better get it right this time.
You big dummy.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and go first. Y'all already know who my big dummies are. This is Nelson Aguilar, Rashad Bateman, and Zay Flowers. And I'm going to go ahead and throw Mark Andrews in there. You get paid to catch the darn ball. That is what you do. That's it.
That's what you should do.
That's what you're supposed to do. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not a receiver. I'm not a wide receiver. Not going to claim to be one. So I don't know the degree of difficulty it is to catch a ball that hits you in your hands or in your chest. So I don't know the degree of difficulty. Y'all might want to do like Jerry Rice did and get the stick 'em. Because this don't make no sense. This don't make no sense, my guy. Like, yo, you... I ain't got no more for you. Just catch the ball. Fred, what is it, Fred?
You big dummy.
There you go. Take it away, cuzzo.
Well, I think I got to repeat it, big dummy. And it's two of them. It has to be Dak Prescott.
Oh.
There's no way. Like, one of those passes, I don't even think he should even have passed it.
Right.
Like, it was, they had got down the field. It was that last pick he threw before he got sat out. That last pick he threw, it was some type of spacing route or some type of slant route. And the guys is right there. I mean, it's bad. And then you got Josh Allen.
Oh.
He goes over there to London. Now, the Jags, I ain't going to lie, they came to play ball. I ain't going to lie. They was already over there.
That's their second home.
They was already over there. Mm-hmm. They rested up and everything. But he threw a pick in the fourth quarter.
Mm.
You cannot do that. You can't do it. So those are my two big dummies, the people that's throwing turnovers.
All right, Fred. you heard him. He said it, Fred. Give it to me.
You big dummy.
Thank you, Fred. Thank you, Fred. So the big dummies of this week are the Ravens wide receiving core and Josh Allen and one Dakota Rain Prescott, man. That was that was some dummies. I ain't gonna lie. Stop throwing picks and catch the darn ball. You heard it here first. Make it a meme. I don't care. That's gonna be the new doggone meme for 2023. We ain't got much of 2023 left, but I'm gonna go ahead and say it. Stop throwing picks and catch the darn ball. That's gonna be it. All right, so yo, good show, man. Really good show. As always, guys, let us know in the comments what you think. Are the Cowboys pretenders or contenders? Are the Steelers back? Can the Jets defense wield them to the playoffs? You let us know. Tell us what you think. Because when you do tell us what you think, and when you do like this video, and when you do share it, it pushes us up. And thank you to the ones who do watch and like and share and comment and stuff. We appreciate you guys. Right here. It's right here. We appreciate y'all. So, my man, you got anything you want to add, man?
No. Don't think I got nothing to add.
Well, you sure? Fred, you got something to add? You got something to add, Fred? Yeah.
You big dummy.
Thank you. All right. So we're going to head on out of here, guys. This has been Backboard Sports Podcast with your man, Fonz.
I'm Quan.
And we out.